Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And welcoming into the studio, our good friend, Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension Wood County. Anna, it is good to have you with us.
It's good to be here, James.
I got to get that title down quicker because we take up half the hour.
It's a mouthful.
It really is. But we appreciate our friends over Extension and working with you guys. Had a great 2024. We're going to have a great 2025.
Yes.
Love having you guys in studio and working with you guys, and especially when we can talk about topics that not only do you guys know your stuff about, but are so timely. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that right now as we get into winter salt awareness and diving into this, Anna.
Yeah, so 'tis the season for salting our roads, our sidewalks. We rely on salt for a ton of things, not just in the winter, right? We use water softeners in our home year-round. We're using salt, but it's very prevalent right now with snow and ice, etc. So in Wisconsin and much of the United States, the chloride from the salt is infiltrating our lakes, rivers, streams, kind of all of the water sources. So there's this kind of adverse effect of something that we rely on so heavily here in Wisconsin. And just a quick fact that I thought was really interesting, it only takes one teaspoon of salt to pollute 5 gallons of water to a level that is toxic to our freshwater ecosystems.
I think of all the stats my father has heard, this is the one that has stayed with him. And not just of our UW guests, but all the guests we've had on.
Yeah.
And I noticed him changing how he does things from it.
Oh, that's so cool.
That and animals.
Yeah.
Those are the two big things that made my dad really like shift. And instead of just grabbing that, you know, little cup of salt,
yep,
and just tossing it around,
yep,
like he usually did, being very almost, you know, specific with where he's putting it and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And how often, you know, you have like this old cup that you picked up from a wedding or something, or old coffee mug, and that's what you use to spread salt. And we don't realize that there is certain rules to go off of on how to salt.
And I think that one of the things that I just personally, I think that I like to note with this stuff is, it's not necessarily nobody's talking down to anybody or saying, hey, you
nope,
should have been doing this all along, or anything.
No.
So many things that we learn as we go along, and
right,
we're just adapting and evolving and making them better, not
right,
just for our environment, but for each other.
Right.
And affordability.
Right.
You know, salt ain't cheap.
Nope.
Being more specific with it is only going to make it last longer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a lot of reasons for this.
Exactly. Yep.
I think one of the big questions, while we may think we have a lot of assumptions of where all the salt comes from,
yeah,
I think getting more specific about it is helpful. So, Anna, where does the salt come from?
Yeah, so one of the most common ways that salt enters our water is from winter salt use, right, on our roads, on our parking lots, and on our sidewalks. Chloride concentration levels peak in the winter and spring, right, from spring runoff when all of that snow is melting, and it's not just the snow melting and running into our water, it's taking everything on our roads, on our sidewalks, on our driveways with it, right? And that includes all of the leftover salt that we have. So road salt has been used as a de-icer in Wisconsin since the late 1950s because it's cheap and it gets the job done, right? But unfortunately, the salt that we put down doesn't just go away, right? We put it down, we think it dissolves, and sometimes it does, right? But mm-hmm, there's after effects in that spring runoff.
I think one of the things that helped me with this topic and understanding this was understanding that even the air out there,
yeah,
it can bring things with it. It
right,
can carry things with
yeah,
it. That's air. Like, so if air can do that, pretty much physical things in our environment, in our society,
right,
are going to certainly do that. And again, this is one of those things where we've been doing it for so long a certain way, people may, you know, wonder why we're doing it this way. Why do we care about this so much, Anna?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of hidden costs to oversalting, and I think that's a good thing to focus on, right, when we think about why we care. So there's hidden costs, and we're also making our water more salty. So once the salt's in the environment, like I said, it doesn't just go away. Naturally occurring concentrations of chloride are less than 1 milligram per liter throughout most of Wisconsin, but our surface water and groundwater and the soil even have been absorbing virtually all of that excess chloride concentrations, and it's increased the levels tremendously. And then we think about weakened infrastructure too. That's not something that gets talked about a lot when we think about the effects of salt.
Yeah.
But salt weakens the concrete, brick, and stone that make up our homes, garages, bridges, and roads. So 1 ton of rock salt causes between $800 and $3,300 of damages to buildings, bridges, and other infrastructure.
And we spent $5 billion annually repairing these things, I see.
Yeah.
So just a pause for a second here on this note right there, because we just got done in the last 4 years putting a ton of money into our infrastructure. Almost every community in this country has better roads now than they did 4 years ago. Almost every state has better highways than they did 4 years ago. I know it's not the most sexy topic, but I will hit on this as much as I can because it's pretty cool. It's pretty wild that this has happened. We want to keep these things nice.
Right.
We want to keep the... And we don't want to have to, in another 4 or 40 years or whatever, have to worry about this stuff. We can put our focus on other things if we're taking care of our roads and our infrastructure.
Yes.
People have seen the scariness of you know, what happened in Minnesota with a bridge collapsing, and in Philadelphia and what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
These things don't happen just because of the wind.
No.
You know, it's
gradual.
It's gradual. Yep. It takes time, and this stuff it adds up.
Yeah,
so
it does.
That's a really strong note to mention, not only because of the investment we've made in the last 4 years in these things, but the investments we'd like to make going forward.
Right, right. And just the saving of it for future generations, right?
We you and I and others from UW, we've talked about this many times. We don't plant trees so we get to see them grow. We plant them for next generations to get to see them grow. This is a very similar thing.
Yeah, it is.
And I mentioned pets earlier because it was a big one for my dad. he cares so much about his dogs and stuff. And pets are, pet health is another reason for this.
It is, yeah. So road and sidewalk salt can irritate your pet's toes, feet, and skin. So on the back of a lot of bags of salt, there will be warnings about what is and what isn't safe for your pet. So if you do have pets at home, make sure that you're really watching the kind of salt that you buy, because some can be, I don't want to say toxic, but very irritating to your pets. And problems can also arise if your pet licks the salt or licks their paws after they're out on a walk. That can cause adverse side effects to your pet's health, right?
Yeah, so those paws are really sensitive.
Yeah.
And we talk about this during this summer a lot, and black tops and a lot of those things, and how that can be on their feet. It's no different in the winter when it comes to salt, or how cold that can be and what that feels like on there. There's no fur usually on those paws. that can get pretty dangerous for them. The licking of it can not only be harmful to them, but can also lead to, you know, vet bills and going to the vet, which is another thing that's going to cost you and everything.
Yep.
Being smart with this stuff is only going to help you and your furry friend.
Yeah, right. And then we talk about, you know, our pets at home, but we also have wildlife and other plants to think about too, you know, our natural ecosystem, which can affect salt, or salt can affect those ecosystems as well. So salt can actually stress plants and animals that have adapted to freshwater ecosystems. Mm-hmm. So, we had said salt that runs into our lakes, rivers, or streams increases the chloride level. Well, those fish or the amphibians, whatever it may be, they can't even adjust fast enough to those increased levels of chloride in the ecosystem. So that's a huge effect. So for example, spotted salamanders and wood frogs are two amphibians that are rarely found once chloride or once pond chloride concentrations exceed 200 milligrams per liter. And that's because frogs and amphibians, a lot of them breathe through their skin. And so how are they supposed to, with this chloride building up in their ecosystem, how are they supposed to breathe, or how are they supposed to live and thrive?
You know, and I don't think I'm giving any new information here that this is all part of a food chain.
Yes.
All these animals, all these things we're talking about. And whether you care about amphibians or not, I imagine that you care about deer. You care about certain other animals that, whether it's for hunting or just enjoying them in the world and everything.
Right.
Well, if one goes away, that affects the whole chain.
Yes, it does.
And so much of our state is built on the environment.
Yes, Yep. Outdoor recreation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Talking about that, talking about hunting, fishing, yep. any of these things. So as you lose a link in that chain,
yeah.
the whole chain gets affected.
That's so true.
Which affects your bottom line, which affects your dollar. And I mean, if you think that the North was hurt by not having enough snow, imagine them not having enough animals.
Right.
Like, and while it may, it's not far-fetched. This is not right. you know, science fiction here or anything. This is science.
Yeah.
This is the way this works.
Yeah.
You want to protect your state. You want to keep your state beautiful. You
right.
want to keep people coming to your state.
Right.
The people in this state enjoying things.
Yeah.
All of this adds up. All of this ties together.
Yep. And you know, one of the huge touristy or not touristy, but like intrigue of coming to Wisconsin is fishing too. Mm-hmm. There was actually an interesting study that I found by Bill Hintz out of the University of Toledo. It showed that rainbow trout in habitat areas with high salt concentrations can experience a decreased rate of growth. Mm. Well, trout fishing in Wisconsin,
cool.
that a lot of people come here to do that, you
yeah,
know? So
yeah.
that's another avenue that we have to consider is our trout streams and those more delicate ecosystems too.
These are the things that we want you to keep in mind when you're salting your driveway,
yeah.
when you're doing these things.
Yes.
Have this stuff in your mind with that it all adds up. And
yeah.
that salt that you're putting on your driveway could be affecting the whole state.
Yes.
It really can.
Yep.
And it's something that we want to keep the state beautiful. We
yeah.
want to keep it profitable and everything.
Yes.
That's where all of this is coming from.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about a lot of things for people, I think, to keep an eye out for
mm-hmm.
and hopefully to adjust and maybe adapt to a different way of doing things.
Right.
But I imagine there's other people that maybe they were doing those things and they're wondering how they can help, what they
yeah.
can do.
Yeah. So there's a couple of really good ways that you can help when it comes to decreasing the salt in our environment. So there's some smart salting techniques that you can do in the winter. So one of the, I think, maybe a little bit more obvious things is to shovel, right? Nobody likes to do it, shovel or snowblow, right?
Yeah,
So clearing your sidewalks and other areas before the snow turns into ice is a really effective way to not have to use as much salt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more snow you remove manually, the less salt you will have to put down and the more effective your methods will be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're scattering salt, if you use salt, scatter it where there's places where there's space in between the grains. You don't need, you know, the salt particles to be right next to each other. I know we think that that has yeah. more of an effect, but it actually doesn't. So believe it or not, a coffee mug of salt is enough to treat an entire 20-foot driveway or 10 sidewalk squares.
That's incredible.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And look, you know, if anything else, think about the fact that you're saving money on this stuff,
yes.
too. You're not wasting a bunch
right.
of salt and everything.
Right.
That's
right.
another part of that.
Exactly. And then if you can, switch. So when the pavement temperature drops below 15 degrees, salt actually will not work. Right. So when that happens, you can switch to sand for more traction. It's different ice melter and it works in lower temperature. It gives you that traction and it's cheap.
Yeah.
Sand is
yeah.
cheap.
Again, a great cost saver. That's fantastic. Any taxpayer out there, happy to hear that.
You're right.
I think along those lines, too, you're seeing a lot more areas using salt more
yes.
and incorporating that more instead of sending the trucks out there to salt the roads when it's they're paying attention to the temperatures. They're
yes.
paying and OK, we can send the sand out there.
Yep.
I'm seeing this a lot more and in other communities, not just in this state, mm-hmm. but in other Midwest states
mm-hmm.
there. You're seeing a lot more of the sand bins
yes.
By the you know the edge of the walkway or something
yep.
like that.
Yep, I do see those quite often.
And there's other ways that you can do this too.
Yeah. So say you hire a contractor or somebody to do this for you, you can actually choose to get a certified contractor. So if you hire someone, ask if they're certified through the Winter Salt Certification Program.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a program that contractors can go through to learn about how to wisely apply salt. And if not, maybe if they're not certified, maybe encourage them to be certified, right? So if you have somebody and you don't know if they're certified, just ask. If they're not, encourage them to go to Winter Salt Certification Program.
It's another, maybe another revenue builder for people out there and businesses out there as well, to be able to have that or highlight that as your business as more and more people are going along these lines. Because this is something that Anna and I are talking about, that is a trend that has been going on for years in our country as far as people pulling away from salt more and more and not using it, just using it smarter.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying don't use salt at all, but just make sure that you're educating yourself on how to use it properly, right?
I think that a lot of us too have seen over the years that excess salt, that salt that's just kind of sitting there and left over, it clumps up and everything. It just it just sits there and taunts you.
right.
That there's doing something with that as well.
Yeah. So if you have excess salt, you can actually sweep up the leftover salt, so it reduces the damage to your concrete and protects your local waterways. Right. Some communities even have a sweep the salt campaign, and others have a salt recycling program. So that would be interesting. I'm not sure if we have that here in Wisconsin Rapids, but it would be really interesting if that's something you're looking to pursue.
I know my community. I know we love to compete with each other every once in a while and everything. I think that whole salt campaign, I think that's a great
idea.
Would
be sweet
I think
salt.
That'd be a lot of fun. That's good. That's a great one. And certainly getting involved.
Yes. Yeah. Get involved. I mean, get involved. Educate yourself on this topic. Wisconsin has a great program for chloride monitoring, so that's the excess salt monitoring, that is supported by the Isaac Walton League, and it's called the Salt Watch program. So if you live by a stream, or you have a stream that you frequent and you want to understand, you know, what excess road salt is doing, you can sign up for this program through the Isaac Walton League. They'll send you packets so you can go to your stream and sample the water, send the test back to them, and then they'll let you know what the chloride levels are. And they're monitoring this to see if there's any increase in chloride levels throughout the years. It's really interesting. It's a really interesting citizen science program. I know we talked about that a couple of months ago, right? So just another avenue to get involved.
It's I think this first out, you hit it on the head. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's I think that part alone is going to get people to really be curious and look into this a little bit more. But the idea also of people being able to, I think, impact their community more, their neck of the woods more, their street, you know, and building off of that, and more of that happening.
Right.
I think there's that part of it that is really important to keep in mind, that you can make this impact. And you know, I especially the topic of PFAS has been so big for the last couple of years.
Yep.
And I see so many people that care about that subject, and just as many people that get tuned out because it just seems like such a big topic.
Right.
How do you clean water? How do you, you know, any of these things? But it could not be more opposite that to me.
Yeah.
This is something that every one of us, no matter who you are listening, no matter where you are listening, we can make an impact on this.
Right. And sometimes it can feel like an information overload. Right? Mm-hmm. Like what James and I are talking about might feel like an information overload to listeners. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to it again. And there's this really great resource. If you're like, I want to be part of the solution, but I don't know how, I can take the steps to reduce my salt use. Right. But here's another way that you can get involved in monitoring local ecosystems and seeing the impact of the changes you're making, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. You can actually see, oh, well, the stream that I have by my house, it started at such and such level of chloride. We've switched to using smart salting techniques, and now I've seen a decrease in that chloride concentration. Right.
Yes.
It's cool. You can
it
see
really
the impact.
Is. It's really cool. And it's also something we want to keep in mind to any maintenance professionals out there, too.
Yeah.
How you can improve your work.
Yeah. So if you're a maintenance professional, like you're working in a municipality or you have your own business, you can consider taking classes, like we had said, to become certified through the Wisconsin SaltWise program. These classes promote best management practices like staff education, equipment calibration, and other incorporations of liquid brine, so other ways that we can you know, decrease the effects of ice and snow on our roads. There's an actual program for this that's a partnership between a bunch of different entities like DNR, UW Extension, etc. They have a whole educator that comes to you and teaches you about salt wise techniques, You know, yeah, it's really interesting.
And not only, I think it's fascinating. I think it really is. But it's also something that is not only going to be cool to learn, but also help you financially.
Yes, yes.
As we've been trying, and in our environment, it's a win-win-win kind of situation.
Yes, yep. So just to talk about a little bit of the financial benefits, I guess, of these programs. So Jefferson County has become a statewide leader in salt reduction. Their efforts, so they took the certification class, right? Their efforts helped the county cut salt use by nearly 9 million pounds.
9 million pounds.
9 million pounds.
Letting that sit there for a second. Yeah, that's incredible. Right. That's incredible.
9 millions of pounds, that saved the taxpayers $500,000.
Whew. Oh, man. And that's Jefferson. That's a community that could, I don't want to say use it, but any community could use it. Now, recently here in Wisconsin Rapids, in Wood County, there's been a lot of talk about budget cutting, a lot of concern about those things. I'd like to see just as much concern on this.
Right.
I'd like to see anybody that was talking about the Humane Society or any other places that they'd like to make cuts. Okay, how about right here?
Yeah.
Here's some cuts we could make that would benefit our environment, benefit our community, and would only help the taxpayers.
Right.
Everybody.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins on this one.
Right.
Anna, we have talked about a lot today, and I do think a lot of people, given a lot of people a lot to think about.
Yes.
If people want to go back and go over some of these things or share some of this information with their loved ones or friends and family and everything, is there a kind of a place we can send them to find out all this stuff?
Yes. So Wisconsin, or it's actually WIS, W-I-S, saltwise.com has a phenomenal resource page. So that's wisaltwise.com. They have phenomenal resources on for how homeowners can reduce their salt use, how municipalities or other contractors can sign up for programs or have an educator come out and help teach them about how to reduce their salt use. So just a wonderful program and a wonderful website.
And if people have questions for you, want to ask you anything or follow up with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can stop in at the UW Extension office here in Wood County, or you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
It is always good hanging out with you, and we always learn every time you join us on the airwaves. Thank you so much for being here with us. Happy New Year to you and the whole Extension team. Thanks a lot for the time, man.
Thanks so much, James.
We'll talk again real soon.
Yes.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up this week right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.